Welcome, beloveds. We're excited about our podcast this month. And I say we because I get to welcome Delaney, our Director of Youth and Family Ministry, to join us in our conversation. Delaney, I appreciate you sharing yourself and your time in this way. Thank you.
Thank you for having me join you today. Especially when I told you that what I wanted to talk about was my very unpopular opinion, and it's an opinion that has been really all up in everyone's life recently. And that is cicadas. I love them. And most people, I think, maybe tolerate them at best, but often despise them. And my love for cicadas actually goes back long enough that my mom painted me a beautiful picture of a cicada because she knows that I love them. And I think we're going to use that picture as the cover art for this podcast.
Yeah, we are. And that makes a lot more sense now. You said cicadas. I thought you said bodegas. I was so confused about that painting. Can we cut and get another speaker in here? No?
A
No?
cooler
Okay.
one with better opinions.
Yeah, well, at least a little bit more popular, less terrifying. No, just kidding. I'm really excited for folks to listen in as we consider what cicadas could possibly teach us about our life and faith. So I'm really curious what it is that you find interesting about them.
Yes, I'm honestly intrigued by the scientific mystery of the periodic cicada. So, when you think about the fact that their nymphs spend this odd number, and it's always odd, of just a lot of years growing and developing underground, and then they're somehow on a schedule to emerge every 13 or 17 years. And scientists have made guesses that this cycle somehow protects them against predators or parasites. But nothing has actually been proven. And this cycle of spending so much time seemingly doing nothing underground in order to emerge and to live, really live, for only 4 to 6 weeks is just fascinating. But it's also confusing to me.
Yeah, I can see that. And the fact that they live underground so long, kind of makes me jealous. I like 13 or 17 years of rest.
Okay.
We live in a culture that celebrates busyness, and it often sees rest as invaluable because rest is not overtly productive, right?
Right.
But in the creation story, we note that God rested for a day. I doubt God needed that rest. God was modeling something. And in the commandments, God gifted us a Sabbath day. So we might not be able to slow down for 13 or 17 straight years, but we can certainly benefit from seasons of rest, which I would argue are just as important as our work.
Yes.
And the life of a cicada also gives me hope. Sometimes our efforts for justice and sustainability are extra exhausting because we don't always get to see the fruit of our labor. I think maybe rarely we get to see the fruit. A cicada's last few weeks of life are literally about that. Their big effort toward the end sustains future generations, but they never get to see that lived out. And so for us too, we might not see the results of our pursuit of living out God's kingdom in the world, but we can trust that our work is really important for those who come after us. I also notice that for a cicada, their strongest surge of creativity, their exceptional outpouring of their gifts comes right at the end of their lives, in those 4 weeks you said, where they're above ground. I love that. It makes me think maybe some of our best work comes in our final years too, when we've experienced so much life and we have so much more to share. It makes me think it's just never too late for anyone. And it reminds me that we need to listen to the wisdom and the gifts of those who have been around much longer than us.
Thank you for that last message. I find that really important this week, as this week I am entering into my second half of a century of life.
Hey,
And
happy
I'll
birthday, by the way.
thank you. And although I'd like to believe this isn't necessarily my final years, I definitely feel that when you expressed that we still have so much to give and learn and do, even after the gift of a long time. So here's another thing I find really fascinating about cicadas. Did you know that ancient civilizations were also intrigued by the cicadas and that they have been significant in many cultures since ancient times?
Wait, does that mean that you were born in the wrong time period? Are those your people back then?
No, that means that's actually how old I am this
Oh,
week.
okay, there we go.
Thanks. So here are some of the things that I did learn about cicada symbolism. In some Asian cultures, cicadas are a symbol of rebirth, health, wealth, and happiness. Cicadas have featured in Greek literature since the time of Homer's Iliad and have often been seen as symbols of death and rebirth. And then in Mayan and Aztec cultures, a carved jade cicada was used in their funerary rituals. So the carving was actually placed on the tongue of the deceased prior to burial. And it was believed that at some point this would bring new life to the dead, just as the cicada emerges from the ground and sheds its dead skin to enter into a new life.
Holy cow, that sounds so much like our Easter message. That is the story of death and resurrection. What we might think is death isn't actually the end. So cicadas lie on the ground until they emerge, you said, to find new life. And literally shedding their old selves and emerging as a new sort of creation, if that's not a symbol for baptism and forgiveness, I am not sure what is. It makes me think of 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has passed away and everything has become new. And now I'm picturing all those cicada shells all over the place. I'm guessing Paul wasn't talking about cicadas, but sounds like we have a lot in common in that way.
Absolutely. So I feel like at this point we've covered all these really wonderful ways to rethink and learn about cicadas, but there's a truth that still remains, and that's that people really don't like them.
Truth.
And sometimes it's simply because they're bugs, right? But other times I think it's the sheer number of them. They seem to be everywhere and in the way right now, just inescapable. I had one stuck in my hair as I was trying to go out for dinner last night. And even though I love cicadas, I don't love one stuck in my hair. So I do understand that while they're beautiful and interesting, they can be overwhelming, especially in these huge numbers. And their noise is really a summer soundtrack right now, and it cannot be turned off or even turned down. So I understand where people are coming from.
Yeah, it's loud. I can't hear lawnmowers over the cicadas in our neighborhood. It is a mighty sound. Yeah, they do bug people. Pun absolutely intended. But I've learned this time around from cicadas that they're actually completely harmless to humans. What I find interesting is, in fact, they're important for the stewardship of the earth. They live in cooperation with creation, not opposition to it. So they gain their nourishment from the trees when they're underground. And then when they die and return to the earth, they enrich the soil so that more plant life can grow. So, in other words, turns out the cicadas aren't trying to ruin our lives. They're not trying to force us to move around them. They're not trying to change who we are. They're just being themselves, which is an important part of the created order. There's something to be said about the way they live. In regards to how we share our faith, seems to me if we also bring our true and full selves and let others show up with their true and full selves, then we can be part of the good created order. We can help people experience the love and presence of the divine in their lives without trying to change who they're created to be or trying to force them to move in some way. And speaking of that noise, it is definitely loud, but you have to admit the cicada sound is clear and purposeful. When their voices join together, it is impossible to miss their song. It makes me wonder if we were a unified church across the world, clearly sharing the message of God's love in a distinct way, what would that look like? What would that sound like? The message would be really hard to miss.
Absolutely. I love that comparison. But I think we have to consider that we would still have to listen in order to receive that message.
Oh, that's the truth.
So I decided to take some time this week, knowing that we were coming here to talk about this. And I decided to just sit outside on my deck, close my eyes, and actually listen to the cicadas. And they were really, really loud. And sometimes they wanted to land on or near me, and that can be a little unsettling. But when I actually took the time to sit and listen, I was able to hear differences in their songs. And the ones that were closest to me had almost a different sound than the ones farthest away. And that's something I hadn't heard before. And it made me think about sometimes listening for God can be this way. It can be a little uncomfortable, but it requires me to face that discomfort in many different situations or in many different ways. And it requires me to have great patience in order to hear what I'm supposed to hear. So this experience really made me want to issue a challenge to everyone who is listening to this podcast. I would like to challenge you to practice getting comfortable with being uncomfortable. So maybe take some time to sit with the cicadas like I did and truly listen to their song while reflecting on what you can learn about your own life and faith from them. Or if you're not listening to this for another week or two and the cicadas are already back underground, I still encourage you to sit with something else or somewhere else that will have you also face this uncomfortableness while listening to see what God can teach you through the experience. How is God showing up and leading by example, even through something as confusing and wonderful as cicadas?
Ooh, that's a good and hard challenge. I like that. I'm going to do that this week.
Yes. Yeah, let me know.
Yeah, I will. And if they land in my hair, you'll probably hear me from there.
No, because the sound of them in my yard will drown out the screams from your yard.
Fair enough. Thank you, Delaney. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight today. Thank you for helping me see a different side and perspective of cicadas, helping me think through what God might be sharing. I appreciate you taking time to be with us today.
And I appreciate you having me. This was a wonderful experience, and not everybody's willing to listen to me about my unpopular opinions. So thank you.
Yeah, well, we'll see what response they have to you after this. But for now, let's go ahead and close in a prayer. God of all creation, even the cicadas, you make the most interesting creatures and you have made the most fascinating creation, and we are lucky to be a part of it. But we're only one part of it, God. So we thank you for the gift of the cicadas, even if we're not ready to admit that we love them as much as Delaney does. Would you help us to watch and to listen? To be curious and to wonder what you might be teaching us through your good earth, and help us to try to have a little more love for those bugs that you have put on this earth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.